It's nice to be here with all of you this morning. I certainly enjoy my time with the young people of this congregation, but adults are cool too. And a little less interrupting, I find, can be a welcome change sometimes. Though if during my sermon you feel compelled to call out or comment, I will probably feel right at home. So writing a sermon is a tricky and tender process, so I thought you might be able to help me along with my message this morning. And you know me and how I like to move, so I thought we could start out with a body prayer, one that carries a piece of the message of my sermon this morning. Are you up for it? Okay, great. So I will speak the poem and do the movements slowly, and you are encouraged and welcome to follow along with both or either. You can stand if you would like, or sit if you would prefer. The movements are mostly in the arms, though standing might empower you with the ability to feel the poem throughout your body. So up to you. As we come together on this day, and you can touch the hands of your neighbors, in shining sun and falling rain, through winter's chill and the blossoming spring, may our hearts grow big enough to hold each other in both the pain and the joy of this shared life. Thank you. You may be seated. So I like how the Indigo Girls put it, the prize is always worth the rocky ride. This life is hard, a beautiful, strange and complicated prize. And at times for each of us, the ride gets rocky. The question on my mind today is, how do we make it through? How do we? And how did we? And how can we make it through the times in our lives that really challenge us? How do we persevere? The first thing I think is facing that life can be and has been hard. Not just a little hard, but really, really hard sometimes. For me, it's actually kind of comforting to know that. As a girl, I had the misconception that if I was struggling, if I was having a hard time, if I couldn't figure it out when others seemed to be able to, it meant there was something wrong with me. That was incorrect, but I didn't know that for many years. It's actually a commonly held misconception that struggling is synonymous with failure. You're not doing something right if you're struggling. It's a misconception that if things don't come easily to you, it's because you're not doing it right, or maybe there is something that's not quite right about you. This damaging information hurts the people who carry it, and it also fuels some devastating oppressions like racism and classism. My parents, out of the best of intentions, wanted to save me from having to struggle too much. Now that I'm a parent, I can relate to that impulse. Children are so vulnerable, and we love them so completely. It's terribly painful to watch our children struggle. But by advocating that life might be easier for them than it is for some anonymous others, or for me than for some anonymous others, my parents unintentionally accomplished both separating me from people and leaving me alone. They didn't mean to do it. For many years, I struggled, and I did it by myself. Eventually, I learned that I did not have to sit alone in my struggles, that in those hard times, I could reach for connection. And it's a whole different world to live in now that I know that. So for me, it's been a struggle and a strange comfort to learn that struggle is actually one of the greatest truths of human existence. Wasn't it the Buddha who said life is suffering? Do you know the story of the Buddha's life? He grew up Siddhartha Gautama, the son of a very wealthy and royal family, and a prince. He was a prince. His parents hoped that he might become a great ruler one day, and so they shared with him all the riches that life had to offer. They also kept him well away from the common folk and the common life of the day. Siddhartha lived his life within the castle walls, rarely going out into the world and wanting for nothing. It was not until he reached the age of 29 that, on a rare occasion, when he was outside of the palace, he saw someone who was desperately sick. He'd never seen that before. His parents tried to save him from seeing suffering. And then he saw an elderly person suffering the pains of aging, and finally he saw death. Being a deeply good and generous, though admittedly quite sheltered person, Siddhartha was devastated by the realization that he too and all the people he loved would someday succumb to suffering and death. And so he left every comfort that he had been promised because he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that no earthly comfort would shield him from suffering. The first noble truth of Buddhism, life is suffering. Actually, I looked it up and I think it reads more like this. Life is suffering, misery, and pain. Whew, it's kind of a lot. It seems pretty bleak. But what I hear him saying is this. If you spend your life running away from the inevitable suffering, then you're really in for it. If you spend your life running away from pain, then you have lived a kind of half-life, shut off from much of the spectrum of human experience and most of the people in the world. I don't know about you, but I have always wanted the whole thing. And I've never wanted to be separated. So we all struggle. Some of the struggles are small and easily overcome, and some are very, very big. But struggle is a human experience. I like the way Lucille Clifton puts it. Lucille was an African-American poet who shares with us the struggle as it appeared in her life. She says, "Won't you celebrate with me what I have shaped into a kind of life? I had no model. Born in Babylon, both non-white and woman, what did I see to be except myself? I made it up. Here on this bridge between starshine and clay, my one hand holding tight my other hand. Come celebrate with me that every day something has tried to kill me and has failed." So my story is certainly not Lucille Clifton's story. Though we do share some things in common, being female is a big one. Loving words and art and artists is another. And a deep desire to shed light on areas of human experience that are often left in shadow. But beyond that, our lives differ remarkably. Lucille was born in 1938 and grew up in Buffalo, New York, in a United States steeped in Jim Crow era racism. She was a poet laureate of Maryland and twice nominated for the Pulitzer Prize in poetry. But all the same, her message speaks to me as a raised middle-class white female growing up, like Siddhartha, with the misconception that struggle can be avoided. Don't get me wrong, I want to live a good life, but I am not striving to live a life that is defined by ease. An interesting life, yes. A challenging life, yes. Fun, raucous, creative, joyful, and an occasional vacation? Yes. But easy? Not so much. So when we decide to live an authentic life where we are leaning into discomforts, into struggle, where we are looking unblinded and unmasked at a world that in many ways appears to be crumbling before our very eyes, how do we not only make it through, but how do we persevere to be part of changing things for the better? And how do we bring as many people as possible along with us? The answer, I think, is a very personal one. When I am deep in struggle and I can find the will inside of myself to reach out, guess what happens? Connection. And that is the place where everything changes. The true and beautiful child of struggle is born in the connections that we seek and make when we are suffering. And it's true on a personal level and on a global one. I think of the Me Too movement, which is so much about connection. The very phrase Me Too is reaching out to say, you are not alone. This is something we share. You do not hold this painful experience by yourself. And as a result, we threaten to live in a time when girls and women and others who face sexual harassment and assault can live more freely and walk with more confidence down the streets and into their homes and schools and workplaces. That's an incredible thing, and it happened because of connections that were made. I think we have a responsibility as a people of faith to find these places in life where connection is happening, where people are coming together around struggles we agree with, and to get behind that momentum and push. Another place that this is happening is in our very own faith community. We are lucky enough to live during a very exciting and often challenging moment of progressive change in Unitarian Universalism. People of color and others who have historically felt shut out from the heart of our communities are speaking up and pushing for a big cultural shift away from what we know and towards something bigger, more inclusive, and ultimately more whole. So how do we persevere through times that feel challenging, where struggle has come to our doorstep and change is knocking loudly? I think we have to start with leaning towards each other. And I encourage you to actually do that. Go ahead. If you're here with someone who you're close to or who you've never met but you could bump shoulders, you could lean. We need to lean towards each other with love and compassion, with some room for hard feelings. I think we have to be a little more willing to listen than we are needing to talk. I think we have to remember that the more we lean into struggle and reach out for each other, the more connected we will become, and ultimately the more powerful we will be to play a role in changing our world. Each of us comes from a place of struggle, where we have at times been defeated by powers greater than ourselves, but from which we have ultimately persevered to make it to this moment where we are together, where great healing and change is possible. How much can we open ourselves to each other and to the unknown? How much can we hold each other in our most vulnerable spots and share an ever-deepening understanding of our true goodness and worthiness, each of us? I think these are the questions we get to ask as we journey together. So I'm going to ask you again, as you are willing and able, to join me in the body prayer that started us off this morning. You can do it from your seats, that's just fine. So here we go. As we come together on this day in shining sun and falling rain, through the winter's chill and the blossoming spring, May our hearts grow big enough to hold each other in both the pain and the joy of this shared life. Blessed be, and amen.